The title today is "And Not After Christ."
And that covers a big area. It comes from our kind of one of our key verses in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, where Paul says, "Let no man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceits, with the traditions of men, with the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He puts all those things over here and Jesus over here. Let's make sure, please, if I get run over by a rock truck today, make sure that we always keep Jesus in the place that He's supposed to be. And don't let things get off into other things and forget about Him. Now, for those of you who at some time or another, or maybe now, have had people work for you, and you've been an employer, and you had authority over people, I want to ask some questions. How would you take it if you had somebody working for you who did exactly what you told him to do all the time? That they did nothing without talking with you to make sure that they fully understood exactly how you wanted them to do it. A person who could not be influenced by anybody to do the job you assigned them to any other way but the way you wanted it. Only spoke the truth as you knew the truth. A person who worked for you that promoted you continuously and gave you the credit always for any success that y'all might have. This is beginning to sound kind of wonderful, right? Now, if you've been like me, I don't know for sure if I've ever had anybody work for me exactly like that. That followed you so closely that he could say honestly that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen him, the man I work for. A person that would be working for you, who would be willing to be slandered, ridiculed, abused, and beaten by all the important people in order to do your job. A person working for you who is willing to die for you to get your job done. A person who, though now can't be on the job site, works 24/7 through another person to see to it that everybody has the instructions, the equipment, the know-how, and opportunity to do what his authority wants everyone on the job to do. You know by now who I'm talking about. The person in charge is the Father, God the Father. The person who worked under his authority was Jesus the Son. And the person who now works for Jesus and deals directly with us is the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to understand some things now that through all the years of Sunday school and Bible teaching and Bible studying and all, I didn't really understand it, I don't think, like it really is. That Hebrews says that Jesus came made in all things like his brethren, like you and me, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, you and me. Because he was tempted, he will be able to help those who are tempted. He covered everything. Now let me tell you something about a high priest, because you need to know about a high priest. Jesus was called our high priest, and now we are a kingdom of priests, the Bible says. The Bible calls us, born-again believers, priests. You know what a priest's job was? To represent God to the people and to represent the people to God. He was the intermediary. He was the guy that made sure the person walking on the street knew all about God. And he was making sure that he prayed for the person on the street that God would do for him what God needed to do for him. And that's what we are today. And that's our job. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago, it's a new term for me, representing God. And wherever we go, we need, as born-again believers, to look for opportunities to show people, born-again people, unsaved people, to show them something more about God. You know, it's a witness, because we've got to understand. See, I can't do anything to get somebody saved. I can't. I can't save anybody. All I can do is tell them how to be saved. And then the Holy Spirit takes that information and works it into their heart. And they make a deal with God through their heart, through the Holy Spirit. So what I'm supposed to do, and understand, this is as much a witness as anything else I can do. If I can cause a person to think about God in a day that he otherwise would not have thought about God, I've been a witness. I've been a witness. And sometimes that's where it all starts. It's when you walk in a store and it says, it's a beautiful day today, isn't it? Yeah, God sure gave us a good one. You'd be surprised if you do that enough, how one day you'll walk in there and things are not too busy, and he'll say, you know, you act like somebody knows something about the Bible or church or God or something. Could I ask you something? And then they ask you, and there it starts. And it goes from there. Jesus was made like us for a time so he could be tempted like us. He could understand what it's like to be tempted like us. And he can feel for us when we're tempted. And he knows what's going on with us. Coming from heaven as a God, he couldn't have done that if he hadn't been just like us. And I'm learning more and more that he really didn't do little magical tricks and miracles in the sandbox when he was little and played with the kids like some folks contend he did. I don't believe he did. I think he was just like our kids. Just like your kids and my kids. Until he got his ministry and it came time. You remember when his mother tried to get him to turn the water into wine at the wedding, the first thing he ever did, he said, but it's not my time yet. It's not my time yet. But you know he did it anyhow. To please his mom. Never quite fully understood that, but he did. She was concerned because she was afraid the host at the wedding might be embarrassed because they had run out of wine, and you just don't do that. He also came down here to show us how to be obedient to the Father. That was one of his jobs. He came to explain to us what this new thing called the church is and how it's to be operated. And he came to die for us, to pay for our sins with his blood on the cross and be resurrected on the third day so that we might become his brothers and sisters, children of God. Now, the thing that maybe I understand better now than I ever have before, this was God's plan. Jesus was working for God, if you will, working out God's plan and on assignment from God. He constantly reminded us that everything he did was from the Father. Everything he said was what the Father told him to say. Every miracle he performed. I don't think Jesus walked around and just spontaneously said, "Oh, well, here's a chance for me to heal somebody," and did it. I don't believe that. Not at this point. I believe that all those times that it said that he left the group and went off and prayed, God was telling him, "Tomorrow, this afternoon, whenever, you're going to run up to this, and this is the way I want it handled." In Romans 8 and 28, some interesting information in these couple of little verses. We know them all. You've known them. You've known them, probably memorized them in Sunday school. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's stop right there. You weren't just going along bebopping one day and decided you wanted to be a Christian and asked God to save you. That's not what the Bible says the way it happened. God started on you. You wouldn't even have a thought about God if God didn't put it in your mind. Because you see, it says here that you are the called. God came after you and called you, and you responded to that call and became a born-again believer. According to his purpose. You see this? God had a plan. And you were part of that plan. And God called you to fit into that plan that he's got. This plan that he's got was established before the foundation of the world. God, at that point in time, called you out and knew that when you were faced with the gospel, you would become a Christian. And he had a job for you to do and a plan for you to do, and he created you with the talents and the personality and the characteristics to do that job. Then when you were born again, he gave you spiritual gifts that matched with those things that he created you with, so that everything was together. Why? Because he had a purpose. Now let me ask you this. Have you figured out what your purpose is yet? Because each person has got just a little bit of a unique purpose. I believe there are people that God calls me to share the gospel with that he won't call you to share the gospel with. And I believe there's people that he will put you in front of with the gospel that he won't share. He won't give me the opportunity to do that. But you see, it's like throwing a rock in a pond when all those ripples start. When we leave this place, for most of us, the real job we have is not here. It's as we leave this place, we go out every which way, and we run into all kind of people, and we're called to represent God to those people. For whom he did foreknow. You see, he knew you before the beginning of time. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Part of the plan is that you will be saved, and when you are saved, you will start becoming like Jesus Christ. That's his plan. That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brethren. I've talked some to these folks who have a lot of kids. And I say, how in the world you do it? Well, the first one helps the parents with the rest of it. And that's what I see in this verse right here. God created Jesus in the way that he gave him his job and the way he did it, he would be here to do the things that God wanted us to do, and he'd be the first one to do them and show us all how to get it done. He's our big brother. And we watch him and see what God wants done and how he wants it done. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. Now look. God the Father is a God. God the Son is a God. And God the Holy Spirit is a God. They're all parts of the triune Godhead. But Jesus, for the purposes of this assignment, though he knew he was equal with God the Father, didn't have any problem with making himself like you and me in order to get the job done. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men like you and me. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He set the example. He brought himself down from the glory place that he was in heaven to be like me and you, that he could show me and you how God wanted us to be, and then be able to relate to you and me because he was just like us. For the purpose of the plan, for the purpose of this assignment. And in John chapter 16, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus is talking, giving his disciples instruction about what's going to happen when he leaves. He says, I have, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I want to tell you some things, but you can't deal with it. You can't handle it. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's part of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit. And he says, he shall glorify me. This is Jesus talking. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. This situation has been called the chain of command. That God the Father is the only being in the universe that's not under submission to somebody. Then Jesus is under submission to God, doing what God told him to do. Then when Jesus left, the Holy Spirit came on the scene. Jesus is in heaven now, sitting in his right throne at the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with us. Whatever we do with Jesus or God, we do through the Holy Spirit. It says we don't even know how to pray that God can deal with it without the Holy Spirit taking our prayers and making them where they can go into the throne room of God. So we've got God that's dictating to Jesus. Jesus is dictating to the Holy Spirit now, and the Holy Spirit now is dictating to us. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. But praise God I am. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that has the assignment of instructing me so that I'll know what to do, I'll understand the Bible, that I might have what I need to do what God has called me to do, and that I might have the opportunities to do what God wants me to do when I get there. And the fact that the Holy Spirit of God has already gone ahead of me to prepare things for me, so when I get there, they'll be like God wants it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, the plan and the way it's laid out? The Old Testament was written so that we might know what happened pertaining to God, the Father, before Jesus appeared in the flesh on the scene. The Gospels were written so that we might see God the Father in the Son while He was here. And the epistles or the letters were written so that we might see God the Father through the Holy Spirit in the church. So you see, all of that instruction is laid out and very orderly that we might have everything we need to do what God wants us to do. So, you say you want to be an obedient servant to God. That is the calling for each of us. God the Father, as a Christian, you want to be an obedient child of God the Father as a Christian. So what do? You go study Jesus. He did just exactly what we're supposed to do. Now, some kind of way or another, I missed all that to that extent. I've always had this idea, and I have no doubt in my mind that Satan probably brought it into my head, because I've learned more and more, and I see it more and more every day. Satan, really, if you're just that far off from being what God wants it, he's happy with that. He just wants to keep you from being exactly what God wants you to be. Because you can't do what God wants you to do if you're that much off. So you see how Jesus operated under the equipping of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit equipped Jesus to do all these things just like he's doing us. He just wasn't here to deal with us on a permanent basis until Pentecost. You can see how the early church in Acts had to deal with the same temptations that we're dealing with today and how they handled it. And how the Holy Spirit led them through all of that and taught them the things we need to know to bring God the Father glory and learn to make this whole thing work. This plan of God that Jesus would come and be what he needed to be. Not only to show us how to operate, but to die for us so that we might become children of God. We couldn't have done it without him. There was no way. You see, people throw the Ten Commandments up to me, and a lot of people that I've talked to with the gospel say, I said, what do you think it takes to be saved? Well, you got to do the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm telling you, the Ten Commandments were not given to us to keep them. People need to know that. They were given to us to break them, because you can't keep them. Try as you may, you can't keep them. The rich young ruler thought he had kept them. And when he threw it to Jesus, Jesus said, no, you don't understand. You maybe didn't kill somebody in the flesh, but if you hated them, you killed them already. You're a murderer. that maybe you have never committed adultery. But if you looked on a woman with lust, you committed adultery already. Jesus told him, it's not about the actions, it's about the heart and the attitude you have. Like the Bible says, we must learn to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow after Jesus and live daily by the faith of the Son of God. We've been dealing with that the last several weeks. Two things that are really, really important. If it won't work, if we can't put our plans a little bit behind God's for our life and our plans for our own life. A man can't serve two masters, the Bible says. So he's got to give one the preeminence. He's got to have one number one and one number two. And the only way for it to work is God's plan's got to be number one. Man cannot serve, the Bible says, equally God and the riches of this world. What God asks us to do is going to compete with the world. We have to choose one because we can't do both right. There's a lot of folks down here that the old fellow says got one leg in heaven and one in the world, and they're on the earth. You can't live that way. And it's like we've said before, we are before God 24/7. And whatever we do, we got to remember that He is watching everything we do. And this whole life down here living with Jesus is about faith. We never get away from that, folks. I was dealing with somebody in a counseling situation last week, and I told him, you don't understand. You've been saved, you say, since you're 10 years old, but you're trying to live without faith. You can't do it. You can't live for God without faith. You've got to be willing to stick your neck out in an uncomfortable situation because God is a supernatural God. He does miracles. He does supernatural things. You can't do ordinary, safe things and work for God because the first thing that's going to happen, He's going to ask you to do something like He did with Philip. Tell me how to feed 5,000 people. Philip said, there's just no way. And He showed him how he could. God's plan is that we live so close to Him that the supernatural life that God bestows on us becomes our natural life. If you're living every day thinking about all the miracles that God is creating in your life, then you're living like you're supposed to as a Christian. Because if we stick our neck out and live by faith, God's going to take us and ask us to do things that we can't do by ourselves. And we're going to be creating miracles just like Jesus did. And He said, see, I got this idea that Jesus had no sin. There's no way I can do things like He can. That was wrong. Because He says, I'll do things greater than Him if I let the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me and teach me to do those things. And that is the job that God has for us. That is the assignment that Jesus had, to come teach us how to live and to live in such a way to relate to us and then to die for us so we could do all those things that God wanted us to do and had Him do it. If we can do that, if we can live in the supernatural in such a way, after a while, it gets to where it doesn't surprise us at all. It really doesn't. We're just constantly talking about what God is doing through not only us, but people that we know. And that's the reason I think it is so, so very important that we talk to each other about what God's doing with us. Share it with each other so we can see that God is doing supernatural things through very, very ordinary people because we know them. Let's pray. Lord, use us. We know you have to fight with us every day just to get us to do like you want us to do. But Lord, we find that the whole plan is for us to be used. So Lord, use us. And it's not the same for everybody. You say in your word for us to remain wherein we were called, because you've got a job for us right there with the way we talk and the way we walk and the way we work, the way we live, that you've got somebody that can be brought to you with all of that. So Lord, teach us just to have confidence in you and not worry that we can't do something, because through you, we can do everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.